pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that You would send the Holy Spirit upon us to give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. For those who are visiting with us, generally on Lord's Supper Sundays, we've been, for the past number of years, been going through the book of Leviticus and seeing how Christ fulfills the ceremonial law and how it all points forward to the glorious blessings that Christ gives to us. We are jumping way ahead of where we normally are in the book of Leviticus to get to chapter 23, because the Feast of Weeks, starting at verse 15, is of course Pentecost. And so that's what we'll be looking at this afternoon. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning at verse 15. Hear now the word of our God. "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2 ephahs, 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offering, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have the privilege of celebrating the Lord's Supper. And in our passage, we see the regulations for the Feast of Weeks, which is the Old Testament term for Pentecost. There is a ton of symbolism here that is all pointing to the work of Christ and all the benefits that He has earned for us and are applied to us personally by the Holy Spirit. It may feel like we are about to do a machine gun rapid fire of things, but again, there is so much in here, so many dots being connected, that this is just what we're going to have to do. But to back up a little bit, and I know you're going, "Oh, Pastor, you just said there was a lot in here. Why are you going backwards? That doesn't sound the right way." But in order to understand the symbolism of what we're looking at in our passage, we do have to back up a little bit. In order to understand the significance of the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost, we have to back up, of course, to the first feasts in the calendar year of the Israelites. The first big feast in the Jewish calendar is what? Passover. Passover. Now, think with me now. When did Jesus die? during the week of Passover, when the lambs were to be slaughtered for the Passover feast. When did Christ rise from the dead? And you all know the answer to that one. On Easter Sunday, of course. Jesus rose again on the first day of the week that we call Easter. However, on the Jewish calendar, it was called the Feast of the First Fruits. Which is why Paul makes the reference to Jesus as the first fruits in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That Jesus was the first fruit of resurrection life. That is a testament to and the surety of our resurrection with Him. And now the Jews were supposed to count 50 days after the Feast of the First Fruits in order to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. 50 days. Now, what number is one less than 50? 49. And 49 is an important number because 49 is 7 times 7. Which in the Jewish calendar was the year of Jubilee. The year of 7 Sabbaths in which all the debts were canceled. And you have to understand how important that would have been to the Israelites in that time. Because they all had a plot of land in the promised land that was their inheritance. And if their grandfather or their father or even themselves had fallen into economic hardship and had to sell that property, you can imagine the sadness of understanding I have to sell my inheritance in the promised land. But on the year of Jubilee, all the debts are canceled and all the property that was sold that is their inheritance is restored. And so what would the 50th year mean? It would mean the first year back on the inherited land. It would mean that all, if you had sold yourself, for example, or even some people had to sell their children as bond servants, to think about living in this new year in which all of that is canceled, you can imagine it would have that effect of, this is a new life. And that is what is being symbolically portrayed for us here. Why the 50th day? Because it's a symbol of the newness of life, but also importantly, this would have come at the end of the spring harvest. And so you have this blessing of abundance, of being in the presence of God and experiencing the fullness of His bounty, but also think about the gathering in of the crops. And we know that that's symbolic many times throughout the Bible, is gathering in of God's people. In new life, set free from bondage and debt. To live in the presence of God and experience the fullness of His blessings. We haven't even gotten to the sacrifice part yet. And think about the fullness of gospel message that's here just in the number of days. And that's important for us to look at too, because when we look at the sacrificial animals and the and the bread and the drink offerings that are given on the day of Pentecost, all of those share elements with the Passover sacrifice, with the sacrifices given on the day of first fruits, Easter, and with the Day of Atonement. And so you have all of these sacrifices for sins. We read multiple, right? But also, we see there's fellowship or peace offerings given. And so what all of this is symbolizing is the blessings of the sacrifice of the Messiah at Passover. The blessings of the Messiah in his resurrection on the day of first fruits. The atonement of our Savior and all of his blessings are outpoured on us in great abundance on the 50th day, the day of Pentecost. And that is what we as the New Testament church celebrate on this day. That the fullness of Christ's blessings earned for us by his death and by his resurrection are poured out on us to the fullest extent that we will experience in this life. There is, of course, more to come. But we experience new life. We are given saving faith. We are already now justified in the sight of God. We are already now being sanctified in the presence of our God, being made more like the Lord Jesus. We're already adopted as the children of God, and we have the sure hope already given to us of glorification. That day when we will be made perfect. All of that is given to us right now in fullness. Notice also that the bread is not given as a burnt offering, but as a wave offering. Now that might not mean much to you, but it does mean something important. The burnt offering, of course, was a sacrifice given entirely to the Lord that was burned up. And in a burnt offering, it was never to be a bread with leaven in it. Never to have been risen. Right? But here, we are told specifically that the bread is supposed to have leaven in it. And that it's a wave offering, meaning that the priests may eat it on behalf of the people, symbolizing communion with God. Now, oftentimes in the Bible, leaven is symbolic of sin, or the pervasive nature of sin, or of hypocrisy. However, there are cases where leavened bread is used in a positive way. And here it is connected with the positive use that Jesus uses it in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." It's similarly recorded in Luke 13, verse 20 as well. But isn't it amazing that God uses this positive use of leavened bread to speak about the growth of the church and the kingdom of God and that it's that very leavened bread that's used on the Old Testament day of Pentecost to talk about the growth of Christ's kingdom. The exact day that Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to begin the spread of the church throughout the ends of the earth. And as if that were not enough, we have in our text in Leviticus 23, verse 22, which seems like a strange tack-on at the end of this section. And it speaks about how the Israelites were not to gather all the grain out of their fields in order to let the poor and the foreigners glean. This makes sense because Pentecost would have normally, as I said, come toward the end of the spring harvests. And they had two harvests. They were very blessed there. They had a spring and a fall one. But this would have been good, as one commentator says, to remind everyone that before they get to the end of the spring harvest, don't gather it all in. You're supposed to leave some. But more than that, the symbolism there is spectacular because that commandment is there to remind the Israelites that the promise given to Abraham would one day come true in force and in power. God promised Abraham that his seed would be a blessing to all the nations. And so the Israelites were supposed to care for the Gentiles in anticipation of the promise being fulfilled of the ingrafting of the Gentiles into the church. All of this was foretold in a celebration that God instituted 1,000 years before the day of Pentecost happened. And even now, as we eat the bread, symbolizing Jesus' body broken for us, and we eat leavened bread, we are reminded that Christ died for us and for all of his people, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Christ will continue to work savingly among his people. And he will gather in a people for himself from all the nations of the earth. And just as God used the Israelites to feed the hungry and foreigners with physical food, he will use us to feed the nations, to feed those who are hungry with the gospel of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, do not keep the gospel to yourself. Do not keep the blessings of Christ all to yourself. Be ready and willing to share it all of the time in any place. For as Jesus says in Mark 4, verses 21 through 23, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. You know the children's song. This little life of mine. What are we going to do? Hide it under a bush? Or a basket? Or let Satan blow it out? Oh no. I'm going to let it shine. What is that light that shines in you? It is Christ dwelling in you by the Holy Spirit. St. Patrick has a prayer in which he prays that all who look on him would see Christ. All who hear him would hear Christ. That should be our prayer as well. That people would want, when they look at us, would see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have so seasoned our actions and our words with the salt of the gospel that they cannot see anything else. Christ gave you the light of the gospel of His forgiving grace and resurrection life. Would not our joy be so full that that would be the one thing that we would want to talk to everyone about? Remember reading the memoirs of Robert Murray McShane, and he was talking about the passing of his cousin. And he wrote one of his regrets was that they had not spent more time talking about Jesus and had spent less time talking about trivial things. I do not know why that is, that it is so easy for us to talk about the weather, or to talk about which sports team won, or to talk about a whole host of things, and yet, when it comes to spiritual things, we find it so very difficult. Even among God's people, why do we find it so difficult? Why do we not want to talk about it more? Think about that. Why? These are the words of eternal life. Why is it so hard for us? Why are we not filled with more rejoicing than we are? Probably has something to do with being earthly minded and not heavenly. Brothers and sisters, the day of Pentecost is a day in which we remember the ingrafting of all of God's people into the body of Christ by Christ's saving power. In order that we who were sinners would have communion and fellowship with the thrice holy God. A God who is so holy He cannot have one speck of sin in His sight. A God who is so holy that upon one sin, eternal hell is the only just thing that could happen. Because we have offended a God who is infinitely honorable. And yet, brothers and sisters, we are brought into the presence of God because Christ took the damnation that we deserve, paid the debt, and gave us His righteousness in order that we would have communion with God forever. That's what's symbolized for us in this sacred feast, that we get to dine with Christ That we get to experience blessing, being in His presence. It's no wonder that in every culture around the world, people get together and celebrate with food. Why? Because we all like it. And we all need it. And here, Jesus Himself sets a table for us, just as He cooked breakfast for His disciples after the resurrection all those years ago. Christ sets the table for us and says, "Partake of Me. Eat and be filled with all the blessings that I have given to you and earned for you." Brothers and sisters, this is a time now as we come to the table in which we must be acutely aware that we are in the presence of our God and that He is serving us. He, the God of all the universe, is serving us with His goodness and with His grace. Enjoy the fellowship that Christ has earned for you. Enjoy being with your Heavenly Father. Enjoy being with your Savior. Enjoy being with the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. You've heard it said, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Terrible slogan. It is a religion. But it is a relationship. And we mustn't forget that. Why did Christ go to the cross? So that He could dwell with us for all eternity. Don't ever cease to be amazed by that. After all, who would want to spend eternity with yourself? If we're honest, I can't stand myself half the time. And yet the God who is thrice holy wants to spend eternity with you and me. And wants to give us all the blessings of heaven. This is love that is far beyond our finding out. If you ever look into the well of God's love and you think you've seen the bottom, you're looking in the wrong well. For the height and the depth and the width and the length of God's love for us in Christ is far beyond our comprehension. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for all of the beautiful symbolism that we see in Leviticus 23 and the realities of what Christ has done for us by His death and resurrection and the blessing that is now poured out upon us in full measure. Oh Lord, may we see a little more today of the greatness of the salvation You have given. And may we experience a little deeper today the closeness of the communion and fellowship that we enjoy because of what Christ has accomplished and what the Holy Spirit has applied to us. May we see, hear, and feel Your nearness with us as you serve us now, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.